Morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Chris Bird, and I'll be serving as your liturgist this morning. We'd like to welcome our visitors. At the end of each pew, there is a registration pad. We encourage visitors to fill out their information so we can have a record of your visit. The announcements for this morning. Remember that next Sunday, July the 3rd, we will have one combined service here in the sanctuary at 10:45. Sunday school will be at the same time. Donuts and coffee will be available in the Wilson Activity Center. Those that are picked up by the van or private car, you will be picked up around 9:30 next Sunday morning and taken back following the worship service. We want to thank everyone that has donated toward buying a van for our church. We have raised over $29,000 so far. We are about halfway there of our goal of $65,000. We know how important the van is to helping our ministries. Let us continue to give to this great effort. There is an envelope in your bulletin for you to give to that ministry if you wish. We are still collecting items for the garage sale that will be on July the 9th. You are welcome to bring them any time between now and the upcoming fundraiser, which will go towards the ACCDC and Children's Ministries. You can drop them off at the storage unit on the back parking lot. Simply come to the church office to get a key for it during the business hours, 7:30 to 5:30 on weekdays, or find Miss Laura on Sunday mornings to open it for you then. And finally, registration for VBS is open. Go to our website, asbury-lr.org, and register your kids now, age 4th through 5th grade, and it begins tomorrow night through Thursday from 6 to 8:30 p.m. And now I would invite the congregation to pass the peace of Christ. Will you please stand for the call to worship? It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to thy name, O Most High. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, number 577, God of Grace and God of Glory. Please remain standing for our affirmation of faith, number 881, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Good morning. How are we? Good. How's summer going? Great. And we have some goods. Hopefully it's going to be amazing and awesome. Well, okay, so I brought something today. What is this? A nightlight. And what does a nightlight do?
helps you sleep in the night whenever you need more light in your room.
Very good, very good. And I have a couple of them around my house, you know, so I don't, like, hit my toe and break my toe and all of that. But, you know, what it does is it protects you, right? And, you know, I was thinking about that because what happens when it's, like, lightning and thundering outside? The power goes off. That's right. But you know what? It's that point where, what do you do normally? I did that when I was little. When it was thundering and lightning and I was scared, where did I go? To mom and dad's room. That's right. And I climbed right in bed with them. So, and you know, and what it does is it comforts you, doesn't it? Well, I wanted to talk today because, I mean, there's going to be times in our lives when we're going to be scared and we're going to have dark days, days that we're sad, things aren't going well. But who's always our bright light? God. He's always going to be our bright light. He's going to be there to protect us. So remember that. So the days that it's bad and it's gloomy and it's dark, remember that God's our light. And that he's going to protect us and be with us. All right, Eva is going to pray for us today.
Dear Lord, help us to remember that when the dark and stormy nights come into our lives, you are there and we have no need to fear. Amen.
please take a look in your bulletin at the prayer list and the names that are listed there. Let us pray. Heavenly Creator, our gratitude is sincere and from the depths of our hearts. The love you have shown and continue to give renews our strength and faithful commitment to you. Jesus exemplified this love by going out to the people whose society did not care about. Jesus gave love to the prostitute, the sick, the blind, the adulterer, and even the tax collector. He loved those who put him to death and desired for them to be shown mercy. In many ways, God, this love is overwhelming and difficult for us to fathom modeling ourselves. Help us to remember that it is not by our strength we do these things, but you and your strength within us that we can make the impossible possible, the immovable movable. Your shared love and mercy to countless people so that we may in turn share that same love and mercy to every person we come across in our life. Whether it is in traffic, the grocery store, on the elevator, in a restaurant, at work, school, or our homes, may we take out love to the next level and may it be a blessing to you. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Today at 1:30, you are invited to help serve a meal to the homeless at Stone Soup. It will take place at Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church at 16th and Louisiana. Let us share the love of Christ to them. Let us pray. May the Holy Spirit be present in our hearts as we give. For we give to show our love and faith for what God has done in our lives, knowing that God will continue to do good work and spread the kingdom of God. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you. Won't you please be seated? Before I offer the Word of God taken from the New Testament in the book of 1 John, I just want to say on behalf of Chase and myself how happy we are to return to you as your pastoral families. You were well represented this week at annual conference, also by the leadership from your lay delegates, Mary and Ron. They did a beautiful job. Let's hear now the refreshing word of God as we look to 1 John. I'm going to begin with this first chapter, the fifth verse, going through the second chapter, the sixth verse. May the people of God be blessed as they hear this word of God is proclaimed for them. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse from us all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the expiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we may be sure that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but disobeys his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him truly, love for God is perfected. And by this we may be sure that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. This is the word of God for the people of God. I've ridden horses a few times in my life. The very last time I rode a horse was on a trail ride at the Buffalo River National Park. And Tony and I were looking forward to this trail ride. When we got there, there were a lot of people who were also having the same idea, and the trail master, I could tell, was scrounging around to make sure that there were enough horses for each one who had come for the ride. Well, as was the case, I was given the trail master's horse. Now, it didn't take me very long on this horse to realize that he knew I was not his master. And it didn't take me long to realize that I knew he knew this. He must have been the most ornery horse in the entire mix of horses on that trail ride that afternoon. As we went along, if he felt like it, he would pause and kind of look at God's creation. And then we'd go a little bit further, and he would decide those leaves on that tree limb looked particularly delicious, and so he would stop and take a bite. And this went on the entire trail ride. And after we got a little bit behind, I'd nudge him a little bit with the knee, and he'd say, well, okay, and he'd catch up a little bit. Well, by the end of the ride, I could see off in the near distance the barn where the horses were kept. My horse also saw the barn, knowing that it was full of delicious oats, and he tore off for that barn, leaving all the other riders and horses behind, and me as well, as I sailed off into the wild blue, landing in a gravel ditch. Ouch. I'm not saying I won't ever ride a horse again. I'm just saying I will never ride that horse again. After all, the idea about a trail ride is that you actually stay on the trail. We had a cat that showed up as a little kitten around Christmas time, so we gave the cat the name Christmas. Christmas should always live in your heart, shouldn't it? I think that the cat had that understanding. I've never seen that particular type of animal do some of the things that that cat would do. The cat would climb into the boat and go fishing with us. The cat would wail and bellyache on the dock if we didn't take him in the boat with us. The cat would heel at our feet while we walked the neighborhood, keeping step with us. Much better than the cocker spaniel we had. Now, I just share that with you because we are created to be more like the cat than we are that horse or even our cocker spaniel. We are created to walk in the steps with God. Our scripture affirms this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's worth noting here, my friends, that the word walk is used by John twice in this verse. John teaches us a believer is to keep in step with God. John teaches us that we will want to walk with God. So how do we do that? How do we actually dare to believe that we are worthy to walk along beside God? How do we dare believe that we are to follow in the steps of Jesus, our Lord? I think if you're in step with God, the first thing you have to do is have the right attitude about sin. Yes, this preacher, Mary Hilliard, is going to talk about sin today. Because I need it. I need it. In verse 7 of chapter 1 through verse 2 of chapter 2, John mentions the word sin 8 times. That leads us to believe that that's a really important topic for believers. It gives us a pretty good clue that sin is something that we should grasp, not seek, but grasp the understanding. So what should our attitude towards sin be? There's a very old story about President Calvin Coolidge, who went to a worship service, and he came home and he was asked, "So how was the sermon?" He said, "Good." He said, "What was it about?" "Sin." He said, "Well, what did the preacher say about it?" "He's against it." So, you know, okay, we get that. We get that we're supposed to be against sin. But it's more important to check our attitude towards sin. Do we find that certain sins are more acceptable than others? Sure we do. Do we find that sometimes our attitude towards sin is a bit flippant? "Oh, well, Jesus forgives me. He died on the cross for that. I'm good. I'm good to go." I think Paul said in Romans 8, "So do we sin, keep on sinning?" And he says, "By no means, no." That's as if what Christ did for us, we dare to take for granted. I think we should actually take ownership, my friends, that we are sinners. We say, "Well, we're Christians. We're church-going people. We're pretty good citizens. We don't go out to intentionally harm anyone." We need to think about our attitude towards sin and confess to God that we are indeed sinners. This is not just a Methodist thing. This is not just a Baptist thing. This is the Christian thing. Jesus said in Mark 1:4, "Repent and believe in the gospel." We know that gospel translates to good news. Repent and believe in the good news. What is the good news? We are saved. We are made righteous through the blood of Christ, not by anything that we say or do, but in Christ alone. So when Jesus chooses to preach about this in his very first sermon, I have to believe that he finds it the utmost important thing that you and I are aware of our sin, are convicted in our sin, meaning we claim it, but also meaning we don't want to be immersed in it. We want to be freed from it. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is that an excuse? Is that a justification? No, it just means that all humankind needs Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. The word confess in John 1:9 means basically that we are agreeing with God we are sinners. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. What a great God we have. What a tremendous promise. If we confess, we are saved. Can you say that about a whole lot in life? If you mess up at work, will you immediately be forgiven? Will what you did that maybe caused the company to lose money or caused a coworker pain or messed up a step in the process or ruined the product, will you be immediately forgiven? Oh, that's okay, no big deal. Think about relationships where you have broken covenant, where you have broken promise, where you have broken faithfulness, where you have broken love. Are you immediately forgiven? If we confess of our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. I don't know of anyone or anything else that gives us that immediate relief and that immediate love and grace. Believers struggle with sin. We struggle with sin perhaps more than non-believers because we are convicted of our sin. We're sorrowful of our sin. John has a reason of hitting this so hard. In John's day, there were false teachers. And these false teachers were telling them that there was no such thing as sin. You were just having a bad day. There was another set of false teachers who were teaching, well, you may sin, but don't worry about it. Sin has no consequences. Of course, neither of these statements are true. Both groups had this false protective perspective about sin. John's point is this: we must be in step with God, and as we are, we agree with God that we are indeed sinners. If sin were not a problem, why would Jesus have spoken and referred to it so often in his preaching? If sin were not a problem, why would people who did some pretty terrific sinning be showcased in God's holy word? Followers struggling with sin. Abraham lied to protect himself. Moses was overcome with anger. David committed adultery. Noah got drunk and exposed himself. James and John, some of the closest disciples that Jesus had, got caught up in a spirit of prideful competition and ego. And Peter, always so robust, so impetuous, so passionate, was the very one who denied Christ. The difference between a believer and a non-believer then is attitude. Maybe you know some people who are not Christians. They're nice people. But they may not spend a whole lot of time being concerned about their sins. The believer understands sin breaks covenant and fellowship with God. I've said before, try to be caught up in the midst of anger and pray with all your soul to the Lord at the same time. It can't be done. You can't be in the face and the presence of God in real prayer and be angry at the same time. No. The Lord God knew that we need help. We need help in dealing with our sin. We need help in struggling with our sin. We need help in trying to overcome our sin. We need help in trying to sin less and to love more intensely. And God, who is so good and so loving and so great, sent us that help in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So John tells us in John 2 that Jesus came to redeem us of our sin through His love on the cross. John calls Him the expiation, that one standing in our place. John calls Him the advocate, that one that acts on our behalf, so that in Christ we have that opportunity to be in the right relationship with God, that which we cannot do on our own. So secondly, if you are in step with God, you will desire to be obedient to the Lord. Obedience. Now that's not a word we wake up every morning and say, "Oh Lord, my goal today is to be totally obedient to you." It should be our goal, but it's probably not the first thing on our minds when we wake up in the morning. We're having a fun time watching our older daughter Katie and her husband Channon raise our granddaughter. She's beginning to talk some. Let's see, I think right now her vocabulary is mama, dada, dog. They have a flat-haired retriever. And while I had her a few days, about 3 weeks ago, she now knows how to say Emmy and Papa. It took 3 or 4 days, but we learned it. These are important words. But she's also learned the word no. Now, she has heard the word no when they're trying to tell her it's time to gather up the toys and put them in the toy box and get ready to go to bed. Well, she's learned the meaning of the word no, but she's also learned how to say no. And she has said no to her mother and her father a couple of times. And I gotta tell you, I just sit back and smile. This older daughter that for 10 years was telling me no. Our obedience, don't you see, is all about submitting and saying yes to the Lord and never no except to sin. Our obedience is all about being consistent in our walk with the Lord. Because we are sinners, sometimes our words and our actions are not in sync. And I find this interesting. U.S. News World Report said that 88% of Americans believe that they're going to heaven. And 100% say that they're adept in sinning. Our actions and our beliefs must be in sync. And because we represent that 88%, we know we're going on to victory. We know we're going on to glory. But we also recognize that at any moment in time, we can have an unworthy thought or do something that's less than kind or thoughtful. We understand this huge gift within that conflict that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who has shown us and given us the ultimate of gifts, and it's called grace. And that is what Paul speaks of in Romans 5:1 of our inability to perfectly obey the law. So that therefore we are justified by faith through this peace we have in Jesus Christ, whose grace gives us access to God. Again, that inability of what we could do on our own becomes an ability, an access through Christ our Lord to God. In today's text, hear this again. We will want to keep his commandments. Verse 6 goes further by saying, we will want to keep his word and walking as Jesus walked. That's three ways of saying the same thing. We will want to keep his commandments. We will want to keep his word. We will want to walk as Christ walked. How did Christ walk? He walked in sacrifice. He walked in faith. He walked in sheer determination and grit toward completing his purpose to save you and me. So when I read this, I am confronted with this truth, my friends. True obedience comes from the heart. It doesn't come from fear. Oh, what will God do if I don't do that? What will so-and-so think if I don't do that? True obedience cannot come from anything other than love. How do we obey the Lord? God helps us. Philippians 2:12-13. My friends, as you desire to obey God, remember, it is God who works in you to fulfill his good purpose. And Jesus taught this principle as he was gathering the disciples. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Lord's responsibility is to change our hearts to want to love God more. Our responsibility is to obey the Lord. We want to follow his example. We look to Jesus for strength. We look to Jesus for motivation. We look to Jesus for conviction. Earlier in the year, when I was facing unusual health issues, first-time health issues, I never felt closer to the Lord. Why is that when sometimes we are confronted with a bit of a panic, when we are confronted with something so strange, a little scary? Why is it that it is then we feel closest to the Lord? Because it is then that we realize we are totally dependent upon our God. Amen. Our God who creates life and our God who can take that life away. And our God who sustains that life between the two. And his word was faithful, and his word was planted in my heart. And I felt prayers, and I felt fellowship. I felt the presence of God through all of that. And I think about Jesus when he faced his most traumatic moment, when he had to decide if he loved God enough, and if he loved you enough, and he loved me enough. And at that moment, prayer took root in him, and the spirit, don't you see, overtook what the flesh desired. It must do the same for us. The greater goal for Christ in that moment was to show the world God's love. The greatest goal for you and me is to do the same. Being cleansed and rising up in obedience. If you and I are in step with God, we'll have not only the right attitude about sin, we'll not only desire to be obedient, but there's one very key ingredient. We will be loving people because we represent the God of love. That's the third way to be in step with God. Now, I've got to admit, there's a few people over the course of my lifetime I don't like very much. I don't. When I see these people, I'm reminded of the pain or the harm they caused me. But what I am continually reminding myself of is that Jesus died for them too. And God created them too. And I am called to love them, not go to lunch with them. And when they're not in my sight, I'm good to go. It's when I'm around them, I get really tested. Until I remember again that I'm a sinner as they are a sinner. And I am forgiven as they are forgiven. And they are loved as I am also called to love. When God is in your head, God will be in your heart. I know when I'm feeling that kind of agape love of which I speak, and I know when I'm not. And when I'm not in step with God, and it doesn't feel good. Today, your pastor preached to you about sin. I hope there was something I said that you could relate to. I hope there's something that I have confessed that you also need to confess. But above all, I hope and pray that you and I, beginning this moment, June 26th, 2016, that our desire will be to walk closer with our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So our hymn of commitment this morning is I Am Thine, O Lord, 419. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, we invite you to come forward at this time as we stand and sing 419.
I love to rise in the arms of
we go into this world today, bearing the love of Christ, I'm reminded that as we walk with our Lord, sometimes our walk brings new entrances. And I think about the United Methodist pastors and congregations who today are preparing for that transition. I think about our own Ben Crismon and Nathan going to new appointments and so many others today. I think about new ventures for our young people as they are preparing to go to college, and for our own Robert Ader as he goes to the Air Force Academy, and our prayers are so with him, and especially Mom and Dad, sis and sister, and our prayers are with you always. And I think about Meg and Joe Byers today, who have welcomed a new baby yesterday and to the life of our church. So as we walk with God, there are those entrances, as we also recognize there are the departures. And as we depart now through these doors, may we do so with the love of God, the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit, and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and always. Amen.